Welcome to Financial Markets Insights Podcast, brought to you by The Realization Group, where we bring together the best minds in the financial and capital markets industry to discuss all the latest trends and news. I'm your host, Clive Posold, and today I'll be in conversation with Chris Burke, CEO of Brickenden. And in this episode, we'll be discussing the final stage of the IBOR transition. Hi, Chris. How are you? Good to see you. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Clive. It's great to be here.
Thank you. So today we're going to discuss the next and arguably most complex phase of the IBOR transition. For those of our listeners who are not fully up to speed, could you just remind us how we got here, please?
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess to the person in the street, IBOR is probably not that relevant or that well known, but we have somewhere around $350 trillion of financial products, benchmark for interest rates, covering things like bonds, mortgages, all other loans and everything are based off this reference rate or reference product IBOR. For people who possibly can remember back a few years ago, there was a big scandal with IBOR. It used to be based around banks being asked how much they would charge other banks in the short term. And this obviously became open for manipulation. So what unfortunately happened is some of the bankers decided to set the rate at a certain level, which obviously impacted the profitability of their books. And that led to all manner of different scandals. So in 2017, in July, FCA announced that they'd no longer compel banks to make submissions in LIBOR and that they'd move to alternative rates, which are called risk-free rates. So LIBOR was in a variety of currencies, Japanese yen, dollar, euro, slightly different from Euribor, which was a different rate, and they were replaced by new rates that were going to be transitioned at the end of 2021. So GBP, we're moving to a thing called SONIA. In terms of Swiss moving to SARON, yen, toner, and dollars to SOFR. So what's now happening is rather than being priced on what the banks think they would be, we're now pricing based on what rates were being charged. And that's a significant difference. And what we're now looking at is a trend, I guess, a relatively large job of transitioning us across for large contracts that may need to be repriced, repapered, and some of these maturities go to 30 years. So it's a very significant job. And I think in the size of that market, we're talking $350 trillion.
That's huge. So from my understanding, the non-US dollar denominated transition closed last year?
Correct. Yeah. So we've gone through a transition of a lot of non-US dollar ones and dollars still to go.
Okay. So, and this is where it gets increasingly complex by the sound of things, and it's not going to be a small job. So over the last 12 plus years, there's been a lot of regulatory change. And what's the typical mistakes firms can make when dealing with change of this nature?
Very good question. I think the biggest thing is people underestimate the complexity of these organizations. We have products that link across different systems, different processes. One of the largest things, I think, from a personal element, having sat there in the early days of the Dodd-Frank and EMIR and those working till 3 or 4 in the morning every day of the week to get these through. Then the next regulation comes through, then the next regulation comes through. So a decade or more on, we sort of have a lot of reg fatigue creeping into these teams that are then sitting there going, well, this is the next regulation. When will this all end? So that's a huge problem that we have, I think, coming forward with regulatory change now.
Yeah, I can imagine. It's just been a constant for such a long period of time. We've got the deadline for US dollar denominated settings looming at the end of June next year. Do you think the industry is potentially underestimated with size and complexity of the task ahead?
I think that's a very, very good question. We were quite surprised to see a lot of the larger banks disbanding their teams after they completed a lot of the non-dollar work. And now we're looking at then trying to get teams up, skilled up, ready to go to do the dollar thing. You know, we have preparations needed to do, for example, multiple regulatory submissions, different supporting models, method changes, which might need to go to regulators for banks to make these changes. We've got lots of other changes coming in at the moment, and there's overlapping test cycles. This is a huge problem, particularly in the larger banks where they might have multiple large programs happening at the same time. Who gets the priority in terms of using the test systems, particularly in the most critical time? There's new risk factors to take care of, which is those exposures need to be documented and built into models and so forth. And I guess once you get some small delay on these, you might have planned your program out to hit June 2023. But if you're now third in the queue, those knock-on effects could really be a big problem. So I think we've got Christmas coming at an inconvenient time. We've got CCP dress rehearsals that are coming up in Feb are going to get a lot of attention. These replacement trades won't necessarily exactly reflect the cancelled trades, and that's, we're going to have some challenges there. And yeah, cross-currency impacts are huge, very notable, and they're going to require multiple model changes and backfill methodology changes, and these will require reg submissions. So all that work needs to happen. And I think there's some of the complexities that just off the top of my head that I can think of that firms need to be aware of.
Well, we'll go into those a little bit later, but you talked about some firms disbanding or downsizing some of the teams dealing with this. Do you think they shielded, learned the necessary lessons from the non-USD transition last year, and they can simply replicate the process? Is this the case? And if not, what do you think they're missing?
If firms are going to try and replicate what they've previously done, but they've disbanded the teams, that's obviously a big challenge. I think they're just missing, again, the size and the scale. Dollar is the biggest of the rates that are being disbanded. And I think there's also a lot of other products and currencies that rely on this. Therefore, the complexity tends to snowball on top of each other. So I think that's a huge thing that firms are maybe not missing. They're just going, okay, well, we have this trade population size, but there's a lot more complexity, particularly when you start to think in, I guess, the larger details like that. There's a lot of client outreach particularly for things like non-protocol adherence. So in terms of things like that are, again, a huge amount of work. By the time you've got to go out and talk to clients, then you've got a lot of to-ing and fro-ing. So timelines can get blown out very quickly in those delays from one of your clients. Products, for example, that aren't covered by the fallback rules. Now, this becomes really tricky. So as an organization, you might have these trade populations there. You've got to identify first which trades aren't going to be replaced by the fallback rules, and then negotiate an equitable replacement with the client. And that, again, the timelines for that can be enormous.
I'd love to dig in a bit deeper. So if we're looking at over and above the sheer size of the task, and we've talked about the time it's going to take to speak to customers and renegotiate, what are some of the more technical risks associated with this project? We've talked about knock-on effects with other currencies. It's obviously huge. What's the slightly more technical areas that people need to be aware of?
CCP, for example, have doubled the notionals required through the overlay process. So there's going to be slow uptake on the compression to try and counter that. And that's going to cause, again, a lot of challenge with organizations and capital requirements, I guess, relating to that. If we look at things like CCP basis swap splits, they've got standardized fixed legs, but this is going to lead to imperfect risk profile on the other side. So banks are going to be looking at going, well, this doesn't exactly match what they'd had previously. And then how do you now counter that? And then I guess some of the stuff we've seen, particularly in recent weeks and months, which is rate changes, there's volatile implications, and this is going to pose a real challenge. All of a sudden, once we have sort of returned to volatility after a very long time of relatively stable, low interest rates, this is going to have a real challenge to organizations as they try and line that up.
Yeah, it sounds like a very complex task, and the sheer volume is the easy bit to get your head around by the side of things. It's going to be a lot more complex than that. We've talked about teams being disbanded, downsized, resourcing constraints are consistent across the industry. You're obviously going to need a team to do this. What does that optimal team look like? Is it a bunch of in-house experts plus BAs? Do you outsource the whole thing, or is it somewhere in the middle where you are using in-house resource with expert assistance from outside?
I think outsourcing the whole team is not going to happen. Once you start talking about interfacing to regulators, talking to clients, no financial organization, and correctly so, should outsource that. They need to be a substantial in-house team to manage those parts of it. But I think when you look at the needing to scale up in short time periods with experts that potentially at the end of this will not be required anymore once the transition has happened, you need to look at a mix of internal and external teams. So some of the things that we've been doing as an organization is giving fixed delivery, fixed capacity teams to go in to manage some of this change for organizations. And they can sit within various teams, or they can sit across the whole thing. So you might have a team sitting within the risk function or within the finance function to help go through all these key changes.
We've talked about outreach to customers. Where does that fit in the team? Is that something where they're going to have to bring members of the sales force into the team to help manage the process as well?
Correct. And they need to obviously face off to their customers. People are aware that this is happening. I think just the details of making the change happen is the challenge. Absolutely. So I think that client outreach needs to be run by those functions. It's not really something that you can externalize, not in an efficient way.
And not even externalize within the organization. It needs to be somebody who has the relationship with the customer on a daily basis to be able to, yeah, that makes complete sense to me. We've touched on a huge amount. This is obviously a very big project, which some people may or may not have underestimated, not just from the sheer size, but the complexity. Are there any sort of final words of wisdom or final thoughts you can give around the topic, just to give us a sort of a quick summary and where people's heads should be going forward from here with the Christmas break richly upon us?
Yeah, I think it's a good question. I think the situation where I would say is, yeah, we've been very deeply involved in regulatory change for the last decade. And there's no problem if you've got it done early and you can disband in the team in, well, before June, get it done by April or May sort of thing. So I'd say start as soon as possible. Once you start peeling back the onion, there is always complexity you don't see. And I think on the dollar side, we are going to see so much complexity that people haven't thought of within their own organization, particularly given the length of these trades. Remember at the start, I sort of said the market's $350 trillion estimated, and you're looking there at 30-year contracts. These might have been well papered before your current contracts, you know, in the organization you're drafting, or these are legacy deals that are sitting there that need to be managed. So I'd say start as soon as possible, get the complexity out of the way and get it done, and then and don't leave yourself until 11:59 on the 30th of June to finish the project and be ready to go.
Yeah, get ahead of it early, I think, is the message by the sound of things. Greg, thank you very much for joining us today. Some great insight about the complexities and size of the issue, and always have the pleasure to have somebody from Brickington on the podcast. And thanks again.
Thanks very much, Clive.
Thanks for joining our financial and capital markets industry podcast by the Realization Group. Please subscribe to stay up to date with all future episodes.